Good morning.
Good morning.
Apologize for being late. But when you see the toothpick come out, we'll get beyond that. When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. Let's open up the Word of God. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it accurately. Today is 7/17/2022. As you know, I'm preaching through or teaching through the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 2 and we're at the very last verse, 22. And again, I'm going to exegete one verse today. I think when I do one verse, I cannot get all my verses in, right? So anyway, and the name of my message is Believers are holy temples that God indwells. So dwell, let your mind dwell on that as we're praying a bit, and thank God for that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you. We praise you for who you are. You're the awesome God. You're all-powerful and all-knowing and all-loving and all-righteous and just and infinite. And to think you want us to have a relationship with you, and you provided the way through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and you give us that free gift of life, your spirit that comes in and dwells us the moment we believe that gospel that Christ gave Paul. And so we pray that same Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here this morning, that he would illumine our minds to grasp what it means to be temples of the Holy Spirit and that privilege that we have. And what does it mean to have Christ in us and us to be in him, in your precious Son? And so we give you all the glory. We want to magnify the name of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's read Ephesians 2:22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. In whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So just think about that for a minute. Let it just get in your mind and put that gratitude in our hearts. So this verse, if you notice, it mentions all three members of the Trinity, the triunity of God, the Godhead, actually. And in him refers to God the Son, Jesus Christ. And you see God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And if you look through Paul's epistles, Paul talks about God in you, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, right? So in time past, God's glory was revealed in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. That's where God revealed himself to Israel. And that was their center of worship, was the temple. And because God had dwelt there. But if you think about it, after Israel rejected Christ and his crucifixion, and the temple was torn from the top down to the bottom. This really wasn't part of my message, but I'm going to add this in. And it signified something. God wasn't in the temple in the Holy of Holies anymore. And people look at it, theologians too, look at it as now, because of Christ's death, and because you see the temple is torn from the top to the bottom, God opened up the way into his presence. But in the dispensation of grace, now remember, in time past, God's glory was in that Holy of Holies, right? The glory is who he is. It represents, you know, it's his being. He emulates, you know, his glory. But now, if you look in read verse 13, but now. See, there's been a change, right? From time past. But now, in Christ Jesus. And he's talking about the Gentiles and the body of Christ, actually. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. And time passed. We live in the fantastic dispensation. Think about it. And time passed. We Gentiles were without God, right? Sad, without Christ, without God, without hope. And we live in the dispensation of grace, right? Christ is our hope. Christ literally indwells us with resurrection life, right? So it's, if you think about it for the Gentiles, that's the best dispensation, because they could become proselytes in time past, get circumcised, take the yoke of the law, but they were still a little bit secondary citizens. You know, there was even separation in their temple with the Gentiles and, you know, the Jews. So today, believers in the dispensation of grace are indwelled by God's Holy Spirit. And His glory is revealed in us when we're walking in the Spirit, right? When we're walking under grace, when we're not walking under law, but we're walking under grace. So it's revealed in us as Christ by His resurrection life. He lives in us as we focus and depend on Christ to live in and through us. And as we take this word, we rightly divide it, and then what do I always say? I'm going to keep you all awake today. As we're applying this word of God in our life, again, the Holy Spirit takes what Christ accomplished, His living, resurrection, powerful life in us, and He makes it real in our experience. It's not us. What does Paul say? He doesn't say be strong for the Lord in Ephesians 6, right? He says be strong in the Lord. And remember, never, Martin Luther, I think, said, never think of yourself apart from Christ. Never think of yourself. I think that's great, great advice. You know, because sometimes we're looking at our failures, you know. During the week, we let God down. We all come up short every day, right, Bill? Sometimes we're looking at ourselves by our failures, and we're not looking at ourselves as who God's made us. He's not dealing with us in our failures. That's why it's important to come and assemble together, don't you think? Because you're reminded who you are in Christ. You know, you're not who you are by what you do. That's religion teaches you that, right? If you're doing all these things, then, hey, you're a really good Christian. But if you're doing that or you're not doing this, and, of course, what I give you the rules, you know, they give you the rules, then you're a bad Christian. And sometime Bob Georgie's talk about the phantom Christian, you know, that a real Christian, as the Pentecostals and Charismatics would say, I'm saved, sealed, and filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Well, you know, so you think of as, and sometime pastors portray this kind of stuff. Excuse me, somebody who gets up, he prays for, or she prays for 3 hours, does 3 hours Bible study, calls up a few people to counsel them on helping them in their lives, takes the bus to work, she leads three people to the Lord. You know, you go to work, you're the perfect employee. On the way home, you lead 5 people, even though you're tired, to the Lord. Then you go home and you study for 3 more hours, and you do phone ministry, and, you know, you're the perfect wife or the perfect husband. That's a phantom Christian. Nobody's like that. And remember, God's just looking for our availability. It's like he had another good illustration. Why I keep going like that? Because that's where I met Alan Sue at a week-long conference he held years ago. And he would point out that sometime, you know, it's like we want God to use us every second. You know, I know I would love that, but he's like, says, be like a faucet. I'll turn you on when I want to let that water flow through you, you know. He wants us to just develop our relationship and intimacy with him. in hard times and good times and all times, right? Pray without ceasing, right? And then just be available, and sometimes we don't even know he's using us. Have you ever had somebody tell you, you know, when you said that, or you called me, or whatever, man, it did, and you're like, you know, I think of Oscar. And he told me he was, he wouldn't come to church for a while. A little bit of backslide. That's fine. Anyway, you know, because you get grace believers thinking, and I'm really glad that he no longer is looking at about assembling together like that, but saying, oh, I can study Bible on my own, or I can watch Les Feldick, you know, on TV, or whatever, you know, watch videos or CDs. And he said that he was breaking up ice, and he put his headphones on, he listened to one of the messages from here, and I don't know why. I think God knows what somebody needs, and he uses people. Well, when I taught this message, I don't even know what I taught, but he said I was mentioning how important it is to assemble together, and he got convicted on it. That's when he started coming back to church. See, sometimes, you know, I didn't know, I did it months probably before that, but God knows where people are at and when they need to hear what they need to hear. And that's why it's important to assemble together, because the Word of God, God knows what you need. Sometimes we need comfort, right? Sometimes we need some conviction. We need to get convicted, like how important it is to preach the mystery, Paul's gospel. You know, not just know about it, but get convicted in our heart where you know it's important, not because Pastor Ricky's telling you. You know, sometimes we need encouragement, right? God knows exactly what we need. And when we assemble together, like I said, I don't believe in those outward sign gifts, but I believe everybody. And, you know, and what's nice about, I love about our pastor, we can agree to disagree on nine essential things. He doesn't believe believers have any gifts today, inwardly even. He thinks you're just available, you know, whatever, there's a need, you do it. Well, I believe God's gifted people. I've seen people try and teach and preach that I don't think were gifted, and they struggled through the whole thing. And so, God, when we get together, everybody, the Holy Spirit's in all believers, right? And he knows what they need. So sometimes it's from the pulpit or the Bible study, you know, or when the pastor's preaching, or sometimes it's out there. The Holy Spirit is ministering to your hearts. So it's important. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I'll give you a sec to get there. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit is, there is liberty. You got the Holy Spirit in you. Right? And because of Christ's death on the cross, right? His shedding his blood, we have the power of the sin nature over us has been broke, that we don't have to let it dominate us. Right? We have freedom from the penalty of sin, which is death, right? We're freed from the law, a performance-based system, free to serve out of gratitude and independence on Christ. So we have freedom. There's liberty, right? In verse 18. But we all, with open face, and if you look at the whole context here, he's talking about how Satan blinds people's eyes with the law when Moses is read to this day, Paul said. People think that unbelievers, he keeps them unsaved, even though they're trying to be religious. Because they got to think they got to clean up their flesh to be acceptable to God. You know, religion tells them what to do or what not to do, right? But when Open face means we realize Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law, you're under grace. And when we see Christ seated at the right hand of the Father as head of the body of Christ, right? And we get our eyes, look what he says, with open face, beholding, it means locking our minds, locking our spiritual eyes on who Christ is, high above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, right? And we're one in him, we're seated with him, right? What a blessed privilege. And so we all with open face, so getting out from under legalism, beholding in a glass, the idea is a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit in us is, as we're getting into the Word of God, because when you look into Paul's epistles, you're seeing Christ as head of the body, right? Where he's seated at the right hand, high above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominion, right? You see the mind of Christ in Paul's epistles. We have the mind of Christ through his Holy Spirit, and also, I believe, in Paul's epistles, the mind of Christ as head of the body, how he thinks today, how he thinks about you, your relationship with him. And so go to Romans 12:1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here is grace, not you better do it or I'll curse you. If you do it, I'll bless you. That's law, right? I beseech you. I urge you. That's what hopefully the pastor, I believe he'll be doing, and what I try and do, urge you, challenge you, exhort you to application of God's word. And Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. God is the God of all comfort and mercy, right? Who comforts us in all of our trials. If we'll go to him. Sometime we're going to different places, right? Instead of God for comfort. That because of God's mercies, right? And by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I always bring up this idea of service is worship. It's the same word used of the priest leading in the worship of God in the temple. You know, so because of God's grace, it should motivate us, right? Here I am, Lord. I ain't all that, but I know you can use me because I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm justified by Christ's blood. I'm forgiven. And you can use it. I'm totally righteous. God made him who knew, God made him who knew no sin, Christ, to be sin for us on the cross, right? So we can become the righteousness of God in him. Everyone he used that have trusted in Christ, I hope you dwell on that and meditate on it. You are the righteousness of God. You go, well, you ain't seen me this week. You are the righteousness of God because God dealt with your sins 2,000 years ago. He's not dealing with you on your sins. You know what he does? He doesn't tell you, look how bad you've been doing. He says, look who I made you in Christ. Now walk in the Spirit. You won't fill lust of the flesh. Walk under grace. Serve me out of love. We love him, why? Because he first loved us, right? So that's what, understanding who we are. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants to emanate his glory out of us. He wants to transform us more and more into the image of Christ, right? And what's the next verse say? And do not be conformed to this world. Like I said, how do you get transformed in this world? What do you got to do? Nothing. Stay out of God's word. Don't focus on God in prayer. It'll just happen. But if you want to be transformed and growing and be effective in your families and your friends and what in your life while you're here, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, right? Then you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does God do that? Through His word rightly divided, right? That you may prove, and that word means discern. You can discern, understand what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's not three different things. Like God's got His good will for you, you know, His acceptable will for you, and His perfect. No, this is so you'll understand His will. Let's go to go back to Ephesians 2:22. And I'm not going to be able to stay on these verses real long on each one, but I want to try and get them all in. And by the Holy Spirit's in me, so I can do all things through Christ, right? Let's read that again. So in whom has to do with what? Christ, right? That's who it's referring to. You are also builded together for a habitation. That means what? Where somebody lives, right? Of God. How? Through His Spirit. So Paul's referring to Christ when he says in whom. So let's take a look at what it means, what an eternally blessed truth it means to be in Christ. Do you know in the book of Ephesians, I think it's 36 times Paul mentions in Christ or in Him. So we're going to look at, I might have missed a couple, but hopefully I didn't. We're going to sort of do a jog through Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 1:1. Let's look at what does it mean to be in Christ? And then think about the contrast. We were in Adam, right? Now we're in Christ. What happened? The moment you believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, right? That He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that you, just by simple faith, you made an act, a decision. See, it's not just knowing about it. There's people, I'll bet you there's some in our church that have been in church their whole life and have never trusted in Christ. They know about it. But they've never realized how wretched they are in Adam. There's none righteous, no, not one. All our righteousness and human righteousness is as filthy rags before God. We had, how are you saved? By grace, right? Through faith. Faith is how you receive the gift of spiritual life, right? You're saved by grace through faith. I trust. I make a decision. He did that for me. I couldn't save myself. He had to save me, right? And then it's not of yourselves. It's a gift. So you got to receive a gift, right? Somebody can offer you a gift, but if you walk away, and there's people, I think, that walk away. We go to the rehab. Some of them people come out just because we'll bring them clothes. And the other chaplain, Tom, who we minister with there, they'll bring cupcakes and different things. They come for that. Cheap stuff. Yeah, it's good. But they're not coming for the right reason. You know? So once we believe that, Romans 6 says what? We died with Christ, who we were in Adam. We were buried. That person's never coming back. That's why you don't got to go to your childhood to dig up what your parents didn't do right and what happened to you when you were a kid and all this. Because you died. And your life began. You know where you want to go to? The resurrection. Because you died in Adam. You were buried, never to come back. You rose with Christ. You're a new creation. That's through the resurrection. So go back when you got problems. Go back to the resurrection and see yourself who God's made you. Then you don't do drugs and maybe become an alcoholic because you're whining about your childhood. That's what they're taught today, right? I remember going to a, quote, Christian 12-step program, unquote. And I said, man, these people are whining. They can't help me. Hi, I'm Paul Baalbek. I'm a drug addict. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, really? Well, if that's who you are, go get drunk. But if you're a child of God, amen, a saint in the God Most High, it don't make sense to do that anymore. You might struggle because you got to get changed mind patterns, the way you're thinking, from negative based on error thinking patterns. And what do? You replace truth and make that a habit. And then you're rejoicing. You start seeing yourself as who you are in Christ. You know, if you're a people pleaser, if I'm accepted in Christ, I'm accepted by God. I don't got to try and please everybody and say yes every time they ask me something, because then they won't like me anymore. Right? See, it's important to understand your identity in Christ. It's doctrine is the most practical stuff you'll ever have in your whole life. Kirk, would you say, Jesus said what? Man shall not live by bread alone. It's sound doctrine. I shouldn't say just doctrine. It's sound doctrine that actually helps you to live above circumstances instead of living below them. So let's go to Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Right from the get-go, bam! Sometimes we read this stuff, we don't even catch it. Because sometimes we're just out of habit doing stuff. Oh, I got to get in my three chapters in the morning, my quiet time. Right? It doesn't matter if you read 10 verses and you dig out what they had. See, I got to watch myself because I like to read some from the Old Testament and then I go to Paul. So I start out in Genesis, then I start wherever I am in Paul's epistles. And then as I redo that, I keep reading Paul's epistles. But I have to watch because sometimes I want to get my, you know, two or three here and then two or three in Paul's. And sometimes we're reading, but we're not studying. We're not taking our time. We're not, you know, even before you study, you should always pray, Father, this is what I do. Even if I'm in a hurry, I got something to do, but I want to get in the Word, get my focus on. I go, Father, if your Spirit don't teach me and illumine my mind, I ain't going to understand this. So I pray and thank you that you've given me your Holy Spirit. I can understand this. Even somebody young in the faith, you can start understanding this word if you depend on God's Holy Spirit and you learn how to rightly divide it. That's the key, right, to help unlock the scriptures. So then let's go to verse 1:3. I love this verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. In Christ, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You're complete in Christ. Colossians 2:10, right? You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's one of them spiritual blessings. Go to 1:4. Look at this. Bam, bam. In Christ. I'm thinking the book of Ephesians should maybe be entitled, you know, like the book of Romans. Our old pastors say that's the handbook of salvation. You know, Ephesians, it should be the handbook of being in Christ. Ephesians 1:4. According as he has chosen us, what? In him. That's believers. That's not unbelievers choosing to be saved. Sorry, our Calvinist friends. Somebody yesterday, I looked back because, you know, on Facebook, you comment on things. Well, I got a good grace teaching brother on Facebook and Howard King. And he kind of had thrown some out there and threw a couple verses how Calvinism you know, is bad doctrine. I'll put it nicely. No, I ain't. It's actually a doctrine of demons. Because all false doctrine usually comes from doctrines of demons. Then it becomes tradition, handed down tradition. And anyway, he was nice about it. You know, not that sometime I'm more bold. But this guy started telling him all kinds of stuff, how he's working for the devil. So I mentioned, the guy gave you two scriptures that were clear. And you're still not even looking at them scriptures. And then he told me, he quoted from Revelation, and I'm a child of the devil, and, you know. So I didn't even respond back. You know, you can waste time going back and forth. So a child of the devil is teaching you this morning. I just laughed at it, you know. You know what he put on there? That God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And Calvinism says, no, Christ didn't die for all men, only the ones he elected. They use election as God elected, you know, chose you for salvation, not you. You know, election means service. Amen. That's when you think of that word. I'm telling you, false doctrine perverts even scriptural words. And anyway, this is about believers. Paul's talking about the mystery, you know, began before the world began, right, in Ephesians. Well, back then, God made a plan that those who would trust Christ, not who would, that he's going to choose them, those who would, then he's going to do this. Because look at this. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, what did he choose for us when we're in Christ? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God looks at you as holy, without blame, before you in love. He loves you. You're loved in the beloved. When God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's, to me, it's mind-boggling. And that should never bore us. We should never be apathetic about that. If that doesn't light a blaze in your heart, and like the prophet in the Old Testament says, thy word is burning in my bones. That's what grace should do, light a fire in our hearts to serve God, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, because God has placed us in Christ, and he's in us, and we already are citizens of heaven. It's not, oh, I hope I get to heaven, you know, when I die. No, we know. We're already citizens. We're already seated there. Praise God, right? Go to Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, whereas he has made us accepted in the beloved. In Christ, in the beloved. That's what it means, one of the things. You are beloved. You are God's beloved. You're the apple of his eye. So what if some people don't like us? God, you are God's beloved. No wonder Satan hates us. Right? Go to 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So I've went over that before, but that's going to be in the fullness of times. Christ is going to rule over heaven and earth, through the instrumentality of the nation Israel. Heaven, we're going to rule under Christ, and all things are going to be brought together, but it's all in him. You can be in him, according to prophecy. That's what those kingdom believers were. We're in him, in the body of Christ, according to the revelation and mystery, right? What verse? What's that? Okay, go to 11. In whom? In Christ. We have obtained an inheritance. We're spiritually rich, man. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, God, he don't like complaining. Remember Paul said these were written for our example. He's quoting the Old Testament. What did God do to them Israel when they were complaining. Thank God we're under grace. You know, under law, man, the ground swallow people up sometimes. Praise God for grace. He says, in whom we have obtained inheritance. We already, we inherited it in heaven. Christ purchased it. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsels of his own will. Look in 13. In whom? Christ. You also trusted in his finished and all-sufficient work, right? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In him, we have his Holy Spirit. We're sealed. We're God's seal of approval. The Holy Spirit is. We're God's. Nobody can break that seal. That's why it's eternal security, not eternal probation, right? Go to chapter 2, verse 6. Speaking of Christ, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, in Christ, you're already in heaven in your union with him, in oneness with him. Look in verse 7, that in the ages to come, we got even, man, not only heaven, but stuff to look forward to, that in ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches. God's grace is exceeding and abundant. He's not stingy with us. In his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, it's always in Christ, through Christ, by Christ. Look in verse 10. For we are his workmanship. So who's doing the work? It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So it's really God, his spirit in us, and then by a choice of our volition, we apply this word of God, and that's how God's going to be working through us. So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works. Yeah, God wants to produce a work of love, and a labor of love, and a work of faith in our lives, in our personal life, and in our assembly together. Which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Look in verse 13. But now, see that change in Christ Jesus. You who were sometime far off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. We're nigh to God. Before we had no hope without God in the world. Aren't you glad when you're going through things, you have God? Amen. There's people out there that are facing some of the things we're all facing in life, because we all deal with stuff. We live in a fallen world, right? We got an enemy, Satan, and we got that enemy within, the sin nature, that we allow to express to ourselves sometime, but we never should, right? And so we go through stuff, but we got God to draw upon. We got Christ in us to draw upon his life and his resurrection power. We got his Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our lives. The world don't got that. So let's not be complaining this week. Oh, I wish I had this. And I wish I had that. I wish I had more money. I wish I had a better job. I wish I had a better wife or a husband. Or I wish I was married. I wish I wasn't married. Start thanking God all through the week, every day. Think of things to be grateful for. Look in. Let's see. We're at 13. I'm going to try and... Okay, 3:11. In whom? That's in Christ. We have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. We don't have to go crawling before God in prayer, begging him. We have access through the blood of Christ to God. Praise God. We have boldness. We can be confident to walk, you know, Bob George, I'm going to be closing up here, used a good example of access. He had a picture of John F. Kennedy, and there was this important meeting with world leaders, And you've seen on her desk, his kid was playing under there. He had access to Dad. You know when that kid walked in, they have guards, right? And they don't let nobody in, but that kid walked confidently. Not proudly, with pride. He knew who he was. I can go by Daddy anytime. Doesn't matter. See, God's dealing with all these problems in the world, but he got time for you. Mind-blowing, huh? Brings tears to my eyes. keep losing track. Okay, 3:12. But now, see that change in the dispensation of grace? In Jesus Christ, ye who were sometimes far off are made near by the blood of Christ. I got too many here. 4:17. And this should whet your appetites to look into this for yourself to rejoice. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, in Christ, that ye henceforth walk not as the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Let's not walk like unsaved people anymore. Walk like who you are, a saint. 4:21. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, Christ, as the truth is in Jesus. Go to 4:32. But be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You're forgiven in Christ. We have redemption through his blood, right? Go to 5:8. I just got two more after that, then we'll close out. For ye were sometimes darkness. We were in darkness and under Satan's domain. But now, the moment you believe, but now you are light, where? In the Lord. Walk as children of light. Just be who you are in Christ. But know your identity. 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong where? In the Lord. Not strong for the Lord. Draw your strength from, that's talking about Christ, and in the power of his might, that's resurrection power. And the last one will be 6:21, and we'll close out. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister, where? In the Lord, shall make known to you all things. We minister in the Lord, through the Lord, and in the power of the Lord. So, remember, Ephesians 1:3, starts in the beginning, tells us we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Colossians 2:10 tells us we're complete in Christ because we're in him. And Philippians 4:4 tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. In the Lord. Rejoice. Let's do that this week. And don't stop there. Let's just do it our whole lives. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for placing us in Christ and that he's in us. And help us to see ourselves as you see us so we can walk as your beloved children, as saints, set apart ones. And we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I pray these seeds that were planted, that you would give the increase, you would give them roots, and your Holy Spirit would produce fruit from them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.